Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to a special edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew, I'm, of course, William Ramo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, what's up, man? How's it going?
I'm good, man. Glad to have you on the show.
Good to be here.
Cool. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to a special edition of Sports Urban Legend on a Friday night instead of the usual Saturday night. I'm glad to have you guys tune in and to this episode. On today's show, we're going to talk about the All-Star Game, Peter Alonso stealing the show, and the Home Run Derby.
Well, you still there?
Oh, hey, what's up? Sorry, there was some technical difficulties there.
Oh, those got disconnected there.
Yeah, I'm back. So what was the thing I'm trying to remember? Oh, yes, right, the All-Star Game, the Home Run Derby, and, of course, we're also going to talk about, you know, the Westbrook trade, and of course, we're also going to preview the WWE pay-per-view event coming up on Sunday, the Extreme Rules. But of course, most importantly, you know, the number is 917-388-4189. That's 917-388-4189. So feel free to call in and, you know, share your thoughts. We'd love to hear from you. But let's dive into the Home Run Derby. And, I'm not usually into the Home Run Derby. You know, I watch it casually usually, but my boy Pete Alonso was there, so you know, I had to check it out. And usually, I don't usually have a rooting interest because, the last time I had a rooting interest was when David Wright was in it, and he lost to Ryan Howard that year. I think it was 06, if my memory serves me right. So. Flash forward to, or I should say, rewind it to Monday night, and I'll be honest, you know, my expectation for Pete Alonso were pretty low, even though I believe in his power. You know, before this season even started, I thought he was gonna hit 40 home runs. You know, but yeah, this Home Run Derby, you know, I was afraid that, you know, he would get jinxed like some people, like I think like Abreu. And some other players, I can't think off the top of my head that, you know, once they go to all the Home Run Derby, you know, they change their swing and try to be a pull hitter, and then it messes them up for the rest of the year. So fortunately for Alonso, he's a natural power hitter. So, you know, all he had to do was maintain his regular swing. So, you know, I always thought he was going to beat Santana, even though Santana had the home field advantage, you know, being a Indian. And, you know, I thought he was going to get past him, which he did. First round, he got past him. And, you know, he beat him on a walk-off home run. I think he beat him by, 14 home runs, I think?
Something
so
like
then, then, of course, you know, the major highlight of the Home Run Derby was the battle, the epic battle between Jock Peterson and Vladimir Guerrero Jr., man. They were just slugging it out, man. It was crazy.
That was epic.
That was so epic. Like, it was crazy. They had three ties or so. You know, before Guerrero eventually defeated him. But yeah, it was pretty impressive. That showing between the two of those guys. Those, their duel was definitely the highlight. So, you know, as I was joking with you, off the air on, you know, Monday night, I was saying, like, I think, you know, I just have a bad feeling that Alonzo's going to lose to one of the juniors, whether it was Ron Acuna Jr. or Vladimir Guerrero Jr. or even Ken Griffey Jr. out of retirement. You know, I just had a bad feeling because, I felt, you know, Ron Acuna, you know, he is the reigning rookie of the year, which I think Alonzo will be the future rookie of the year. I mean, he leads all the rookies in all the major categories. Not to mention, he's like probably top two and three in the major categories overall in the major leagues. So, I mean, he's definitely a shoo-in for that. And he does have an outside chance of, you know, winning potentially MVP for the first time as a Met. But going back to the All-Star game, you know, him and Acuna, you know, they were battling it out, and you know, on another walk off, he defeats Acuna. So now I'm thinking, wow, okay, he has a shot, you know, because I thought he was gonna get eliminated by Acuna for sure. So once he got to Vlad Guerrero Jr., and of course, you know, he was tiring out by battling with Jock Peterson. I think they were even battling for like an hour or so. The way how it kept going back and forth. So then, you know, once, you know, you could clearly see Vladimir Guerrero was tired out, man. And I think he eventually hit, what, I think 20 home runs or so, 22 home runs. So I'm like, wow, he really has a shot. Because this is the first time, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. didn't hit at least 30 home runs, you know, in a round. So I'm like, wow. So he has a shot. So then, you know, it was Pete Alonso's time. And when I thought he really had a chance to seal it is when he wisely took a timeout with 102 left. I think he had like 16 left, or 16 or 18 home runs left with 102 left. I'm like, oh, shoot. I'm like, yo, he's so smart. Like, he got this, man. He got this. All he got to do is just, you know, take his time, make sure he gets, you know, he connects with the ball, and he got this. So sure enough, with like about 20 seconds left, and then he just barely qualified for the 32nd bonus round if he needed it. But sure enough, with like 20 seconds left before the 30 bonus, he hit another walk-off. So literally, Pete Alonso didn't use any of his 32nd bonus rounds and won all three rounds with a walk-off. And man, that was pretty awesome performance by Alonso. He basically used the rope-a-dope, you know, that Ali used on Foreman. You know, Guerrero got tired out with that awesome duel he had with Peterson, and Alonso came in and swoop up and took the batting title. What was your thoughts on the whole, home run derby?
Well, it was one of the best home run derbies we've seen in a while, you know, especially that matchup between Vladimir Guerrero and I forget his name now.
Jock Peterson?
Yeah. You know, that was one of the best home run duels you ever see.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, Vladimir, he had a great night. He hit 91 total, you know, home runs that night. I mean, he definitely deserved to win it, you know.
Yeah, he did.
But he didn't have enough in the end. And Alonso, you got to give him credit. He took advantage of that, and he ended up winning. But, you know, Vladimir Guerrero, you know, even though he hasn't hit much home runs this season, you know, he shows you that he has a lot of power, just like his dad. You know,
that's what I was about to say.
Yeah,
hereditary.
Yeah. You know, it's, again, it's disappointing he didn't win it, but, you know, you got to tip your cap to Alonso, you know.
Absolutely. And then fast forward to the All-Star game the next day, Monday night. You know, of course, the American League shows its dominance as it has for the past 20 years. And you know, the only highlight for the National League was, of course, you know, Blackman hit a home run, and of course, Pete Alonso, you know, he knocked in that 2-run was a single, I think it was. So yeah, man, that was all she wrote for the National League, man. The American League, or as I say, the American League Yankees, you know, because practically everybody on the team is current or future Yankees on the team. So, you know, the Yankees dominated. You know, Tanaka, he got the no wait it wasn't Tanaka who got the Tanaka pitched well, but I think Bieber got the win. I think he was third pitcher, not to be confused by your favorite singer of all time, Justin Bieber. You know, he got the victory. I think he was the third pitcher to get a start an All Star game at home and get the win.
So. Yeah, and he's the first pitcher ever to strike out the side in an All Star game. So he struck out all three batters that he faced in the All Star game.
Whoa! Time out. Jacob LeBron did that too.
Did he? Oh.
Yeah, a few years ago on 10 pitches.
Really? Oh, well,
yeah.
Did he strike out three batters?
Yeah, he struck out the side on 10 pitches.
Oh, so what were they saying? Were they saying that Shane Bieber became like the first pitcher or something that did that?
I don't know. I didn't hear that.
I guess maybe the first American League pitcher, I guess.
Maybe the first American League pitcher. I don't know.
Yeah, because they're making a big deal about that.
So I think even Doc Gooden in 84, who unfortunately we're going to mention him in like a minute or two, you know, he struck out the side in his rookie All-Star game. Like he struck out the side in 84.
I guess probably it's, you know, all those National League, I guess Shane Bieber becomes the first, maybe he's the first American League pitcher to do it.
Yeah, could be. I mean, there's a lot of great pitchers. I mean, you would assume Clemens would have done it before.
Yeah.
But I guess we're going to have to research what that fact is.
Yeah. Becomes the first Indian pitcher to strike out the side 1-2-3 in All-Star game.
Ah, there you go. First Indian.
Okay. And on top of relief during the top fifth, he set down National League with 3 strikeouts and preserved a 1-0 lead. Okay.
Mm. Yeah, I would have assumed like Bob Feller would have did that. But what year did Bob Feller pitch? Did he pitch before the All-Star game existed?
I have no idea.
Yeah, that's something I'm going to have to research. I think the All-Star game started, what was it, like 33 or 36 or something like that? I think around the same time they had the home run, the Hall of Fame. Let me see quickly. But, yeah, you know, Chapman, he I think he struck out the side, you know. So, yeah, the Yankees and the American League, you know, they won. I'm trying to think. The final score was 4-3, I think. So, you know, congratulations to what was I going to say?
Until the National League adopts the DH, the American League is always going to dominate. I mean, seriously. Because the American League, I mean, it's the better hitting league. I mean, we've been seeing this for years now, you know?
It is definitely the better hitting league. I mean, there's no doubt about that.
I mean, this old school of having a pitcher, it's mind-boggling why the National League is holding on to this old tradition.
Well, if it makes you feel better, Manfred, the new commissioner, he's strongly considering in changing, you know, adding, making it universal, you know, DH, which I'm strongly against that, but you know,
it should be like if I was a National League fan, I'd be bored because baseball is a really boring sport for some people, you know, and like when you watch a game and then you see a pitcher come up there and then 9 times out of 10, so a lot of these pitchers can't even hit. First of all, they're easy outs. Like,
right. That's
meaningless baseball. You know? I don't get it. I don't get it.
Yeah, 33 was the first year of the All-Star game. Let me see when Bob Feller pitched. But yeah, I'm definitely in favor of. Okay, yeah, he had that pitching. Yeah, he pitched an All Star game. He's an 8-time All Star. Yeah, I guess he didn't. He never struck out the sign in an All Star game. Well, surprising. This guy has nearly 3,000 strikeouts. He has 2,581 strikeouts. But I guess he never struck out the side. Maybe he struck out one or two, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
But any case, congratulations to the American League. Winning yet again at the All-Star game.
As usual.
Yeah, it's all hat now. Like 60s, 70s, 80s. The National League dominated, you know, especially since the National League was, you know, more open to integrating the game, you know, adding Latin and Black players to the game. So that helped them beat up on the American League until the whole league got, you know, integrated.
Right.
But now the American League is just running roughshod on the National League.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, again, there's better hitters in the American League compared to the National League. So the National League has to get with the program, man.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, except for the DH. I'm still against the DH. But they definitely need to get their act together. But, yeah, back to Doc Gooden, man. Unfortunately, there's news that he, you know, he had a relapse apparently last month. Man, I hope he can, you know, turn his life around. You know, that's very, you know, messed up.
Yeah, he's clearly an addict. And, well, you know, once an addict, always an addict.
Well, I mean, that's not true. I mean, there's some people who recover, you know, once they get there.
Yeah, true. True, but there's always going to be temptation. And, you know, addicts,
well, of course,
they'll, you know, it's not easy for them to resist.
So,
deep down, there's always going to be that addiction laying, waiting for that next fix.
Yeah, that's why he has to overcome it, you know. He got to definitely, now is the time for him to overcome it, or else, you know, God forbid, you know, if you don't overcome the addiction, it gets you. And, you know, it's hopefully not, it's not too late now. I'm just going to keep him in prayer that he could just get over this addiction. I mean, it's strong beyond words, you know.
Let's hope so. I mean, you met Daryl Strawberry, right? Remember?
Yeah, I met him. Yeah, I met him once, I think. Once.
And I think you were the one that told me that you saw, like, residue under his nose.
Well, no, I don't even know. I didn't even say that. Those were just nah. As a matter of fact, you know, he's a pastor. He's living proof how you could turn your life around, you know.
Yeah, you know, it looks like he's turned around.
So,
yeah.
I mean, there's hope, you know.
Yeah.
Hopefully Doc, you know, can do the same.
I mean, even in that documentary when they were together, like a few years ago that they did, when they were together sitting at the diner, Doc didn't look healthy, you know. He didn't thin. His face looked like a skeleton. You could tell the man is clearly on drugs still, even though he said he was clean. But, you know, he needs to find help, man, and stay off the crack, because crack is whack.
Well, I mean, yeah, definitely crack
like
is whack.
Like Whitney said.
Well, yeah, I mean, he definitely needs to, you know, hopefully he's getting the help he needs now, you know, before it's too late. Shifting gears, congratulations to the, you know, the women soccer team. You know, they're clearly the best, you know, soccer team in America, you know, for sure. I mean, they're light years ahead of the men's U.S. soccer team, you know, and yeah, they just ran a rough shot over all the ladies in that, you know, in the tournament. So, you know,
yeah, congrats to them. Yeah, they did a great job, you know. It dominated this World Cup.
Yep. Yeah, for real. And now the shouts are getting even louder. You know, they're demanding that, you know, they get equal pay, you know, as men do.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully they'll get it because, you know, I mean, they're definitely the best, you know, soccer player, you know, soccer team, you know, in America. And they proved it winning 2-0 against, you know, Netherlands. And then they just had the Tinker Take parade, you know, in New York, which Lord knows if it wasn't for the Giants and the Yankees, that would be a barren wasteland. You know,
mm-hmm.
But you know, congratulations to them. They won back to back. You know, first time since 2015 and fourth overall. So you know, congratulations to them. The only problem is, you know, soccer is, you know, probably the least popular sport in America right now, or for a while. You know. But you know, once you know these ladies are playing, you know they definitely spark an interest for Americans since they dominate, unlike the men's team who still hasn't won anything yet. So if the men could win a World Cup, I think that would definitely spark an interest as well into the sport like it's never been before. So. You know, congratulations to the women's soccer team for always representing us. But, shifting gears. The other big news in sports is the blockbuster trade. Russell Westbrook gets traded to the Houston Rockets for Chris Paul and a couple of draft picks. And as a result, Westbrook, you know, finally reunites with James Harden, not to be confused with Big E Langston from WWE. And I think it's a big move for Houston. You know, Chris Paul, you know, he's getting up there. And, you know, he's been injury prone. And I definitely think a change of scenery will help him out. And he'll have a guy who, you know, who he trusts on the offense. You know, I did talk a bit about that on my YouTube video I posted out earlier today. So please feel free to check it out. Mac, what's your thoughts on the trade?
Well, it's a good trade for OKC because they get more draft picks. They've gotten a lot of draft picks from LA Clippers and Houston now. So it's good for them where they could, you know, build a team for the future.
Right.
And they get Chris Paul, who's a contract. You know, it's a bit, you know, it's a bad contract, but, you know, it's only for several years. They're going to have him on the team. And on for Houston, you know, it's good for them because now, you know, they improve their talent. You know, Westbrook, you know, he's going to make them better. But the issue is going to be whether him and Harden can coexist because both of these guys like to, you know, carry the ball. You know, they like to hold on to the ball. And, you know, they can be selfish at times. So it's going to have, you know, it's going to be interesting to see who takes the lead on that. And if Westbrook falls back a little bit and just lets Harden do his thing, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And I think they even have a bigger problem other than sharing the ball. But I discussed that, you know, more in depth in the YouTube video that I just posted about that.
Okay.
So, you know, definitely check that out if you'd like to, you know. But, I think it's a good move. And like you mentioned, you know, OKC has a lot of draft picks. So that's definitely going to help them, you know, for the future. But did you hear that? According to the rumors, Russell Westbrook was considering one of us as their suitors, even though we couldn't make the trade until December 15th because the guys we got, like the seven new guys we got, aren't eligible to be traded until December 15th. But what's your thoughts?
Yeah, well, you know, it would have been interesting to see him here. I mean, the Knicks could have traded for him. They didn't want to. You know, they could have traded some of the younger guys, although that would have been bad. And they could have gave up like a Knox, Nolakita, what's his name?
Robinson.
Trey.
You're talking about Trier, Alonzo Trier.
Trier, and you maybe Dennis Smith Jr. and some draft picks. You know, they could have they could have gave away some of the existing players that we already had on the team.
Yeah.
I
definitely would have gave up those guys. The only guys I wouldn't have given up was would have been Mitchell Robinson and RJ Barrett.
Oh yeah.
Other than that, I'd be open to trading anybody on this team, even Knox, even though I think he has potential.
Yeah, but I think bring Westbrook here, it probably stunt some of these kids' growth,
probably.
You know, as players on the team. Since Westbrook, again, he's a selfish player, you know. So, you know, that I don't think that would have been a good fit for the Knicks anyway.
Yeah, you're probably right. Especially we don't have another superstar player for him. So,
yeah, he'd be another Carmelo almost.
Except he'd be averaging triple doubles.
Well, yeah. And
again,
taking up unnecessary shots and padding his stats.
Yeah, we'd get eliminated in the second round instead of not making the playoffs every year.
Or first round, even.
Or maybe. I mean, he, unfortunately for him, he has a streak of getting knocked out.
Yeah.
Lately, so that is a possibility. But, yeah, let's talk about the WWE. What's your thoughts on this upcoming Extreme Rules pay-per-view event?
I don't even know who's fighting, to be honest with you. Who's going to be wrestling?
Mm-hmm.
I know there's going to be a tag team match between
Undertaker and Roman Reigns.
Oh, no, I wasn't even referring to that. I was referring to Seth Rollins, Becky Lynch versus
Baron Corbin and Lacey Evans.
Yeah. That's like the main event of the night, pretty
right.
much.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to give you my thoughts in a few minutes. But, yeah, let's start from the bottom and work our way up. You got Revival versus the Usos for the Raw Tag Team Champions. I could see it going either way. I could see Usos winning, but maybe, I don't know. Maybe I'd be too early. Maybe Usos might win in like SummerSlam or something, but I don't know. This one could go either way. I'll say Revival retains one more time.
Yeah, I could see Revival retaining.
All right, how about
Revival?
Braun Strowman versus Bobby Lashley, last man standing match, which is pretty similar to the match they had a few weeks ago when they pretty much demolished Raw.
Wow.
Braun Strowman.
Yeah, I'll go Braun Strowman also.
Bobby Lashley really need this victory, but Braun Strowman's going to win. Unless if he's facing Roman Reigns or Brock Lesnar. He's going to win this match.
Yeah.
Ricochet versus AJ Styles. I'm going to say AJ Styles.
Oh, AJ.
Yeah. Yeah, he got, you know, he just turned heel. So, you know, you got to cement him turning heel by him winning the title.
Yeah.
And this match might be the match of the night right here. You know, especially based on pure athleticism. You got Aleister Black, who's been begging and pleading for someone to knock on his door, versus the Swiss Superman, Cesaro. And I'd love to see Cesaro win this match because just like Bobby Lashley, he's in a desperate need for a win. But I think Aleister Black's going to win this.
Yeah, I'm going Aleister Black also.
And then you got the triple threat tag team match for the SmackDown Tag Team Championship. You got the tag team champions, the Planets champion, tag team champions, Daniel Bryan and Rowan versus The New Day, Big E and Xavier Woods versus Heavy Machinery, which of course has Otis and Tucker. I could see this going either way. I think either Daniel Bryan and Rollins are going to win or Heavy Machinery is going to win their first title. But I guess flipping a coin right now, I'm going to say Daniel Bryan and Rowan.
Yeah, I say Daniel Bryan and Rowan retain it.
All right. And Drew Gulak defends his WWE Cruiserweight title versus Tony Nese. And I think Drew Gulak will retain.
Yeah, I'll go Drew Gulak also.
And the SmackDown Women's title is going to be Bayley versus Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross. And this is going to be a 2-1 handicap match for the SmackDown Women's title. And I think whether Nikki or Alexa pins her, Alexa will be the champion, apparently. Normally, I see Alexa Bliss because she has the advantage. But I do like this new mean streak of Bayley. So I think she's going to retain.
I could see Nikki coming, pulling an upset.
Yeah, but she's not going to be the champion. It would be Alexa Bliss, I think.
Really?
I think so, because it's a handicap.
Aren't they all three competing for the title?
It's a handicap match. It's a 2-1 handicap match.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. Right.
I think if she wins it, it would be Alexa Bliss who would win it.
Oh.
I mean, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't. I mean, it would be cool if Nikki won if she would be the champion. That would make more sense. I mean, they shouldn't
have made it. That don't make any sense.
They should have made it a triple threat match, and then they'll just make an unofficial handicap match. That's what they should have done, you know. That stipulation is a little wonky to me. So,
And then I think Bayley will retain.
Yeah, and if you know, Bayley does retain, Alexa's going to turn on Nikki. Kofi Kingston versus Samoa Joe. Man, I'm rooting for Kofi, but it would be nice to see Samoa Joe win a title for a change, but I don't want it to be on Kofi's expense, though.
I'm going with Kofi.
Yeah, I think logically speaking, would be Samoa Joe. I think Kofi will retain it.
Yeah, I'm going Kofi.
And then you have this no holds bar tag team match, a match that nobody wanted to see. Undertaker is going to team up with Roman Reigns for no reason to team up against Shane McMahon, the Baron Corbin of the McMahon family, and Drew McIntyre. And I normally would say Roman Reigns. Well, you know, well, I am going to say Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns and Undertaker will win against Shane McMahon and Drew McIntyre, which is what really should happen if those four guys fight each other.
Yeah, I think they'll win too.
And if I don't know if you knew, but in the last review event, Shane McMahon beat Roman Reigns somehow. And he's been doing the spear on Roman Reigns lately, which is a few no one really cares about. And speaking of Shane McMahon, did you hear Kevin Owens promo on him? He cut a CM Punk pipe bomb on him.
Oh yeah, right.
That was a that was a highlight. That was probably the highlight of Raw, not to mention, you know, R-Truth's 24/7 antics on SmackDown.
Yep.
But, yeah, so, yeah, Undertaker and Roman Reigns will get the title. I mean, we'll retain. Well, they will win the tag team match. There's no title. There's no tag team title on the line, except I guess the title of the Big Dog or something. I don't know. But there's nothing on the line except for I guess pride. But yeah, and then this ridiculous tag team match, a last chance winner takes all mixed tag team. Extreme Rules match. I didn't even know it was an Extreme Rules match, but it's about time they have Extreme Rules match since this is the Extreme Rules pay-per-view event. It's going to be for the WWE Universal title and the Raw Women's title. And it's Seth Rollins going to put his title and Becky Lynch is going to put her title against Baron Corbin and Lacey Evans. For the 500 millionth time, these people are battling each other. But now this time, in a tag team match. Like, they are really, WWE's man. Once they made them admit that they were dating each other, they're like really milking their relationship. Like,
oh yeah,
I'm glad that they're happy and all, but dang, they're really like milking this relationship to the point that the Extreme Rules pay per view event is a post of just both of them standing around. I mean, there's nothing extreme about it if you look at the poster. But apparently that's the Extreme Rules poster.
Kind of like Miz and Maddie's relationship.
Yeah. Or Nikki Bella and John Cena's previous relationship.
Yeah.
When he proposed to her, you know, on WrestleMania, and then shortly after they, you know, are currently no longer together.
Right.
But, yeah. I think Seth and Becky will win.
Of course.
Yeah, hands down. I mean, it would be pretty screwy if Baron Corbin and Lacey Evans win their title in this fashion. I mean, unless they have help from the Big Show or Kane or somebody like that, you know, coming out to help them. Or maybe even Bobby Lashley and Mick McIntyre, since they're always helping Baron Corbin out. Or maybe even Charlotte, since Becky and Lacey Evans are involved. So you never know. So the only way that Seth and Becky would lose their titles would be if somebody interfered, like maybe Brock Lesnar or, you know, somebody like that interferes and then Brock Lesnar catches in his money in the bank on Seth Rollins. But in any case, Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch is going to walk out as champion.
Yeah, I don't see them losing their titles. So I think they're going to win also.
Yeah, I think that's basically it. And apparently, Eric Bischoff is gonna start his reign on SmackDown, at the pay-per-view event at Extreme Rules, and then of course, his SmackDown reign will officially take place this coming Tuesday night on SmackDown. So we'll see what he has in store. Yeah, hopefully he won't use Baron Corbin and Shane McMahon as much.
Hope so.
Or maybe he'll just replace him with former WCW people, like Hogan. Still fighting for the WWE title or something. But who knows? Anything you'd like to say?
Check out my show. I'm back here shortly on Lock Talk Radio. Come back here and check out us. Sports from Legend every Saturdays.
Correct.
At 11.
Yep. And this Saturday, this coming Saturday, I won't be able to do it. So I'm going to probably do it on a Thursday or Friday again. But usually check out my show every Saturdays at 11. And, of course, check out my YouTube channel, Sports from Legend TV. I have a new video just popped out earlier today. So please check that out. And, of course, check out IMAC. Usually every Saturdays at 10, but just for you folks, he's going to do a special episode at midnight, which is 19
Friday Night Mac.
Second. Saturday Night Mac coming up in
Friday Night Mac.
19 minutes. Well, actually, it's Saturday night because it's going to be midnight now. So,
well, for the West Coast people.
Okay, for the West Coast people and the people in Central Time, it's going to be Friday night.
Technically, it's still Friday night.
Depending on where you're at.
It's Saturday morning. Yeah.
All right. So check out his show. It's coming up. And I'll see you guys next week. Peace.